We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's gonna puke! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Shaken wrestling fans, it is Monday, March 3rd. We just finished watching Monday Night Raw, and it is time for all of us to gather here on Mega Powers Radio, as we do every single Monday night, for the MPR Raw post show. Lots of awesome things went down in this show tonight. I think we're gonna have plenty to talk about. Excited to get into it. So while we jump into first by introducing everybody who has joined us here as our panel, first off, I will be hosting. I am Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Also with me, first off, the leader of Smark Out Moment and the Smack Talk podcast on that channel, Anthony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much. How you doing today?
Absolutely tremendous. Thank you for asking. Also with us, the lead host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, as well as the soon to be returning unanimous decision, MMA, Mr. Steven Huego.
Yo.
When is that returning, by the way?
Whenever I decide.
Okay, good answer. And also with us, the Bounce House Prince, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, dude?
Shaking is my leg.
That's a terrible answer.
Well, you asked, though. Gotta be straightforward nowadays.
Oh, indeed. All right, guys. Well, tonight we had Raw air from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. Definitely one of the most loudest crowds in all of wrestling, I would say, if not number one, then maybe only number two to New York City. They were absolutely tremendous tonight, although I don't think they were chanting CM Punk nearly as much as I was expecting them to. And I think that is mostly due because WWE was smart, like I was hoping they would be, and they had a stacked card on the show tonight. Not to say it didn't have its hills and valleys throughout the whole show, but I think for the most part, we got a well above average Raw tonight. And I want to do a quick go around with you guys, see what you thought overall and what you took away most importantly from tonight's show. Drew, why don't you go first?
Well, I thought it was a good Raw, but the one thing I took from this Raw was that they hinted at a CM Punk return at the beginning, and they didn't. And Steven, it's still work, and you know it is.
Indeed. Steven, we got to go to you, man. You're in the hot seat on this one. You've been claiming over and over again, CM Punk is a work, CM Punk is a work. And we were all waiting to come to Chicago. And I've been waiting a long time to debut a segment that I want to get more into this later. But for now, let me just get your impression about tonight's Raw from Chicago.
First off, I've always said Dave Meltzer is full of shit and don't trust a single report he does. And it is still a work. And what I took away from this show the most is WWE can't book for shit because they totally botched that tag team match. And that's what I'm going to be a sourpuss over tonight.
Oh, Steven is, of course, referring to the fact that we had new tag team champions this evening in the Usos. Their very first tag team championship, winning them from the New Age Outlaws tonight on Raw.
What a fucking waste.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get more in a little bit. Tony, what was your big thing you took from tonight?
I'm a little bit on the fence here. I don't know if this is a sign that there is a work in place and they did this just to kind of fuck with the fans, because they did acknowledge the fact that CM Punk is gone and they brought a lot of attention to it, which they haven't been doing recently. Or maybe this was their half-assed attempt to just shut everybody up and not do anything. I don't know. I'm hesitant to go one way or the other on this one.
Well, you know, why don't we just go ahead and break into this to start, because I'm re-looking over the entire Raw card here. Like I said, we have a lot of cool things that went down. We had the new tag team championships. We had further dissension with both The Shield and The Real Americans showing up tonight. We had further exposure for Emma. We saw a developing feud between Sheamus and Christian. We had plenty going on. We had a new Hall of Fame inductee announced tonight, so there's plenty to go down. But I think the big thing that's on everybody's minds is, where was CM Punk? And the segment I always wanted to debut here, and I never really had something worth going into this week in Scoop, Scoop, Scoop's Scuttlebutt. Now, if you've listened to the show on the regular basis, you know that whenever we say Scoop, Scoop, Scoops, we're referring to the general dirt sheets that are out there. Because let's face it, these companies basically are just reporting scoops. whatever types of hot scoops they can get you to go to their websites and hopefully get their heads. And hey, I can't blame them. We're all in the website biz. We want hits on our website too. And to say that we don't do some black hat methods to get that done, we'd be lying. But you can't always rely on what you hear from those websites. And of course, we learned that tonight when all throughout this weekend, you said it was Dave Meltzer who broke this, but I mean, these reports are just everywhere. CM Punk will be at Raw on Monday. CM Punk is most likely going to be there. CM Punk is spotted in Chicago, where he lives, by the way.
Well, I'm sure if Dave Meltzer reported it, WrestleZone will let you know, but it was a WrestleZone exclusive.
And then, of course, there's all those other websites that tack on extra crap, and it ends up becoming like the Purple Monkey Dishwasher kind of thing, where CM Punk is rumored to show up. Well, that means he's guaranteed to show up, and he's winning the title, and it's going to be changed to a big CM Punk logo, and so on and so forth.
The best one I've liked all week is, CM Punk spotted in Chicago! No shit! He lives there!
Indeed. I mean, where else? I mean, plus, like, the whole thing people say is CM Punk is speculated to be there. Yeah, people speculated that CM Punk would be there at the Chicago show, like, as soon as he left. When you look at the Raw schedule of where they're going to be throughout their tour, you see Chicago on there. It's like, oh, that's, of course, that's a likely spot he would be there. I don't know. Where are you guys leading on this, though? I mean, Steven, you were saying you're still convinced this is a work. I mean, really? Are you still convinced this is a work?
I'm pretty sure I saw CM Punk there. There was a lot of CM Punk t-shirts. One of those guys would got to be him.
What about you, Tony?
I actually didn't hear what you were saying.
Is this a work?
No.
No. Drew?
I don't think it's a work, but maybe Punk is on the post-show or something. You know, he's supposed to be on Raw tonight, but...
Well, we invite Punk to be on this post-show, and of course, we invite all of you to get involved as well. We already have the chat room blazing. We got Brian the Brain in there, Creepers on the Radar, iRadius, Joseph Stallman, Liberty Unlimited, and Zigster and Mr. Dane. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce that VC. Lots of weird letters there. We're gonna be opening up the phone lines at 11:30 actually it is almost 11:30, so we will be opening up soon. We invite you to call in. Old number 760-512-7247. If you are tuning in on the page, you might see a different number on there. That number does work as well. We aren't quite sure what's going on right now. Both numbers seem to be working, so feel free to dial in with whichever one suits your fancy, and we will get you here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw post show in just a moment. I guess the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys first before we start opening up to callers is our Hall of Fame inductee that we got this evening. And it was a person that we were all hoping for last year, especially because he died just before WrestleMania, but it seemed like it was a little too soon. But now that a year has passed, finally announced, Paul Bearer inducted into the 2014 WWE Hall of Fame class. Well-deserved, I can certainly say. I mean, the guy's reputation in WWE alone was fantastic in the work he did with The Undertaker, with Kane, with Vader, with Mankind. Excellent all throughout those years, throughout the early 90s, taking out the gray and purple Undertaker. And then when he turned his back, oh my gosh, that was all such gripping, awesome television. One of my favorite feuds that went throughout all those years. So I'll get your guys' opinions on it, Tony.
Well, before anybody gets a chance to do it, I'm going to do it. When I saw that the next person who's going to be in the Hall of Fame is Paul Bearer, the first thing that ran in my mind, oh yes! Awesome, I love that. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. We have a posthumous inductee every year, and if it wasn't going to be Macho Man, then it should have been Paul Bearer. So very good choice. If it wouldn't have been Macho Man or Paul Bearer, I really don't know off the top of my head who else it would have been except for maybe Owen Hart. But it makes sense to do it because Undertaker needs that little bit of an oomph every once in a while, and that'll give him something to do, because obviously he has to be the one that inducts him. So the storyline with Brock Lesnar doesn't seem like it's really going to pan out to be something that intricate, and why not give that little extra thing to Undertaker this season to make it a little bit more special?
Steven?
Nothing but positives, man. I thought he should have gone in last year, but there is the argument that it was too soon, plus they upset the family, so that's never good either. Hopefully everything's cool between them now. And my favorite Paul Bearer moments probably during the return of WrestleMania 20 for The Undertaker. Just hearing his voice again after being without Paul Bearer around for so long, it was fucking awesome. So definitely worth it. He's helped Kane and Undertaker get over initially with their careers, so awesome.
Drew?
This is awesome. You know, a lot of people thought he should have gone last year, but, you know, thankfully he didn't because it was way too soon. I don't think that... I was still 50-50 with the storyline they had last year with Undertaker going into WrestleMania, but it was all good. It went for the better, and, you know, it's glad to see him going this year, especially. So, and you, Mango mentioned it, if it wasn't going to be Macho Man Randy Savage for the Posthumous induction, it should be Paul Bearer. So it's good for him, and, you know, good for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, hey, look who's here. Time Cow's back. What's up, Time Cow?
Hey, TC.
Yeah, indeed. I know. Time Cow is going to show up whenever he feels like, you know, he just works time to his advantage. So we got a lot of questions last week about what this whole Time Cow thing is. Time Cow, you want to explain it to them?
Oh, okay.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Ridiculous.
All right, for those who don't know, Time Cow is going to be joining us as a part of the show to help us keep on track when we're spending too much time on something. So whenever you hear Time Cow chiming in, it's like, hey, this has been going on for too damn long, and it's time to start moving along.
Oh, don't insult the man. Come on.
God, you're milking it a bit.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Time Cow is once again telling us that we're spending too much time with this, and it's time for us to start opening up the phone lines to you, the listeners. So once again, the telephone number you could call in to join us on the NPR Raw Post Show is area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You could also click on the Skype icon on top of the broadcast page. That'll also get you in to join us. And of course, the chat room is always going wild with people going on in there. Joseph Stallman, it's like the music at the Oscars. iRadio is asking who's the guest for tonight. Last week's guest was awesome. It was indeed. Well, I'm going to show you who our first guest is. It's the person we have on the phone lines from the 412 area code. Let's get him in on here. Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Gentlemen, happy Monday to you. What's going on tonight?
Oh, we're all feeling absolutely tremendous, man. We all had a pretty good time watching Raw tonight, and we're having a good time talking about it. So what about you, man? What did you think about it all?
I'll tell you what, though. Chicago was crazy tonight. It really was. I mean, it was fucking insane. I mean, you could just hear the chants all night long. They were chanting Punk's name. I mean, once again, it just goes to show you, once again, it just seems that Triple H loves to hide under his wife's vagina more than anything and be a little bitch because he won't accept Daniel Bryan's challenge, and he has to have Kane be his little bitch boy, if you will, once again, to stick up for him. But I'll tell you what, though, I mean, it was a really good show in a lot of ways, however, and there were a couple of bad things, but I think tonight, however, if they didn't acknowledge the Punk chant and the S movement, something's wrong, however, because they're going to be back there in June, however, and I have a feeling maybe when they come back in June, however, this time Punk will show up. I mean, I would not be surprised, but yeah, it was a wild show from the start. I mean, when Paul Heyman came out and the Punk place of rough, you thought Punk was coming through, and then all of a sudden Punk or Payman just comes out and the fans just totally healed on him from the beginning. And then he says, my name is Paul Heyman and I'm going to cut a pipe bomb. And you know, he did a pretty good start, but then he goes on and says, it's your fault that CM Punk's not here. Okay, excuse me. I think it was Batista, basically, in his little power trip, if you will, basically kissing Triple H's ass and the Authority's ass to steal Punk's momentum, and that's why Punk's home right now, if memory serves me. That's why you have Kane be your little bitch boy every week. That's why you have to have Stephanie always send out, Kane, do this for me. Help me out. I can't do it because I'm on high to my husband's ass, and then you have JBL kissing Triple H's ass. Enough already. Then next week, I mean, you're going to be in Memphis. You got Hulk Hogan showing up, apparently some big WrestleMania announcement. Yippee Skippy. But as far as the show goes, like
you're
I said, tonight,
excited about WrestleMania?
Yes. What's that?
You're not excited about WrestleMania? Hulk Hogan? Hulkamania?
Oh, hell yeah,
back
I'm
around?
Excited about WrestleMania.
Okay.
I'm going to be in New Orleans for that. Yeah. I'm pumped. In 5 weeks, I'm going to be in New Orleans. I'm going to be enjoying it, man.
Hell,
I'm
yeah,
hoping to call you guys when I'm down in New Orleans. If not, I'll tell you when I get back later the week after what happened. But it's going to be a fun time. I'm looking forward to
going down.
It's
a party atmosphere. How long are you going to be down there? Are you just going down for the day of WrestleMania?
6 days.
Are you making 6 days? Oh, that's fantastic, man. Are
yeah,
you
going
to be exploring the whole area?
We're going to Raw the next. We're going to the Access on Friday. We're not going to the Hall of Fame Saturday, unfortunately. We're going to Mania Sunday. We're going to Raw Monday. And we come home Tuesday night.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. That sounds like it's a blast. We had WrestleMania in my backyard last year, and I only was fortunate enough to actually attend WrestleMania event. I should have went to actually the Hall of Fame or something, but you know, living right in the area, I don't know why I didn't take advantage of more. But sometime in the future, absolutely, I want to check out all that other stuff because they always seem like they're so much fun. Especially the Raw the night after.
I'll fill you in on accessing that, though, because I hope to, I mean, hopefully my girlfriend won't be too jealous. We've been together 7 months now. Her birthday's coming up in a few weeks, turning 30 and all. She's a little upset I'm going. But anyway, hopefully she won't be too upset when I get my snap picture taken with the Bellas. Hopefully if I get the Bellas photo taken with me. Hopefully she won't be too miffed about that. But no, it was, like I said, it was a hell of a show tonight. They had a great crowd. It was hot. It was exciting. Chicago's always a great town for wrestling, we've seen over the years. And speaking of Chicago, I mean, I'm sure you guys didn't mention it yet before I get to my high and low point of the evening. Billy Robinson, the late AWA wrestler, passed away today. I'm sure you guys heard the news about it, and I like to express, I think we all should express our condolences to his friends and family. I mean, he had many great matches with Vern Gagne and Nick Bockwinkel, so rest in peace, Billy. We will miss you.
What a surprise. But, and another graphic not shown for him, just like they did not show a graphic for Nelson Frazier once again.
Well, they did last Friday, and it was too late. And, you know, Viscera's wife went off on that, and then she later apologized for it. And I agree. I mean, that was classless, again, by WWE not showing it tonight by that. But high and low point tonight, I got to say, the high point, the Usos winning the tag titles. It's about effing time. They won the tag titles. I hope it's not a 24-hour thing where they get hosed tomorrow night, because now apparently they're going to have their the old age outlaws, I should say, are getting their rematch clause tomorrow in Detroit against the Usos on main event, which is going to be on the WWE Network. So I would say that was the high point. The low point tonight, however, once again, I gotta say the main event. Once again, it just goes to show you that Kane, Triple H, and Orton, and as well as Bautista, love to fuck Daniel Bryan over any chance he gets. And like Michael Cole's saying the whole time, why doesn't Triple H grow a set of balls and get in the ring with Daniel Bryan? What's he hiding in his wife's vagina all the time? Oh, I'm afraid. Why don't you grow a set of balls, Hunter? Why don't you go back in the ring again? You haven't fought in a few years. And I have a feeling you're going to see Vinnie Mac show up in the next couple weeks before me. I think you're going to see this match happen. And I think Vince is going to be the one that books it eventually. Because I think everyone's just getting sick and tired. And I know I'm getting sick and tired of seeing the same old shit with the Authority week after week after week.
That's an interesting turn, and it does make Triple H go in without having to be in that whole cliche convinced of, like, you know what? Fine, I will do the match. And I'm like, it's just going to keep going until it gets to that point. That I like that better. Good idea, Jake.
I think you'll see it in the next few weeks. It's going to happen eventually. I don't think it could happen in Shawn's hometown. It could happen in Brooklyn. Hell, it could happen in Batista's hometown. They've got to do something here in the next 4 weeks because they got to set this match up perfectly. And I got to say, I'm very happy Paul Bearer's going in the Hall of Fame. I think you will see one or two more going in the Hall of Fame. I think they're going to have room for maybe one or two more. Who those one or two could be, we don't know. We've heard Sting. We've heard DDP. We've heard Scott Hall. And that leads me to ask you guys real quick before I cut it loose for the night. What do you think? When do you think Sting will show up, and what do you think they'll do with him when they bring him in, if they bring him in?
All right. Well, I'll start posting that to the panel. JD, thank you so much for calling tonight, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a good night, dude.
You too, guys. Have a great week.
All right, so the question JD left with us before I bring it to our panel, I want to remind everyone, you can dial in and join us on the show. Give us your thoughts about tonight's show. Post any questions you might have for the panel, whatever you feel like. The phone number is area code 760-512-7247. We got the chat room rolling as well. Lots of people talking a lot. I can't even keep up with all you guys are saying anymore. You're talking so fast. It's awesome. Posing a question to the rest of you guys, though. When do you think Sting is going to be brought into the show, and what do you think they're going to have as his role? Tony, I know you're the guy who's pretty much been the most adamant about Sting coming around. What are your feelings about that?
What I really want them to do, and I don't know if this is necessarily what they are going to do, but man, if they do it, I'm going to be like fucking pumped, is the night after WrestleMania, when we are kind of settling down from it on Raw, we always have Undertaker come out and cut some kind of a promo about, you know, I the streak's intact and I'll fucking see you next year, like that kind of a thing. And I really want them to sell that as just the normal kind of stuff, not really, you know, build too much upon it. And he just goes, you know what, it's another year, WrestleMania 30, I'll be doing this WrestleMania fucking 60, same old shit, you know. And then, bang, Sting comes out. No setup ahead of time, no backstage leaks about it, no insider reports from Dave Meltzer or whatever. Just hide him until that 1 second and have him pop out. And all he needs to do is just, like, stare at Undertaker or better yet, because they've already done the stare thing in the past, have him come out and just say, look, you've fucking beaten everybody on this roster. Well, I've never even been in WWE before. We're on for next year. That's all you need to do. That would be the best in my mind. What they will do? No idea. I don't even know if Sting's necessarily even going to come in WWE.
I like that idea. Only rather than even have him come out, just have him appear in the rafters.
Yes, that would be even better. Thanks for one-upping me.
I wouldn't expect him to really even remember anything like that happening, though. Unless they're watching it on the WWE Network, now available for $9.99. Get their one-week free trial at WWE.com.
Pog. Suddenly they like start running those episodes of Nitro, like the couple of shows heading up to that episode of Raw. That would be a pretty decent way to do that. And just go, oh, fuck, you would have known this if you would have bought our network. Bye.
Drew, what about you, man?
About how I think Sting would return if he returns?
Well, not even return, but debut.
Debut.
He's never
okay.
been in WWE before.
You know, I'm gonna start a little bit ahead before Mango, and I read this online of someone's what they would do if they had Sting return, and I think it'd be a good way. That's not just a norm, just hey, just stare down with Taker and move on. I think he returns he debuts at Mania after Undertaker's match. It is just a stare down. You know, Undertaker's gonna go off for a year anyways, and then Sting the next night on Raw with me just goes down with Undertaker again, just talks, and they agree to the match then, just do the year in advance that they did with Rock and Cena, except Sting will wrestle during that time period, pick up wins, because, you know, if you don't know who Sting is, you just can't go by the WWE Network thing now, especially at his age, and just like, oh man, he's a legend. He needs to wrestle a show. So I think he needs to pick up some wins before he wrestles. So he's going to face some top name guys, you know, maybe Orton, Cena, maybe some of those guys, pick up a few wins going into it. And then, you know, maybe even win a championship. Who knows? But I think he should be winning the WWE Heavyweight Championship during this time. Just hold it for like a month or so at a throwaway pay-per-view.
Okay, then, Russo.
Okay, and then hang on, and then they go into Mania finally. I think that's how they should do it.
And you think it should be for the title, Taker versus Sting?
No. I think he should just like get it at like some October pay-per-view. They have two of them. Anyway.
But then that would mean he'd have to lose it before facing Taker.
He just gets the title. He doesn't go into Mania with the title. He just gets it for like a short period of time just to say he has held the title before facing Undertaker. The whole point of this would be just build Sting up so he's at least credible to the people who don't know who he is.
You know what? I'll help you out there, Drew. I guess he could kind of lose it in like the Elimination Chamber matchup, and it could be kind of fluky if he loses it that way. That could protect him and still looking strong. Otherwise, I don't really feel that idea.
But... it's your loss when they do it. You're like, oh, fuck, Drew. Why aren't you looking for all?
Well, maybe you'll get Sting on the Drew Crew next year. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, maybe.
We got all different types of ideas we got going on here, though. Tony says that he'll debut him the night after WrestleMania. Drew, you're saying you'll debut him at WrestleMania. We got some people in the chat room. Brian the Brain saying that a single black baseball bat shows up in the ring. That's how people know about it. Creep is on the radar saying, no, the black bat should drop from the rafters and hit Undertaker in the head.
There's some guy just holding it. He's just like, trying to like position it.
All right, Steven, what about you? What would you do with Sting?
I wouldn't bring him in altogether because the guy wrestles with a fucking t-shirt on. He can't do his own finishing move because his knees are shut. It's 5 years to 10 years too late.
Hmm.
And to be quite honest, expect a Jake the Snake reaction with no one knowing who the fuck he is. I think it's way too late. No one, I don't care anymore. And done.
I feel like they would know him because you're talking about you're in New Orleans. That's the southern WCW NWA territory area. So I think a lot of those people would have a familiarity with who Sting is.
If they don't know, they could just play Man Called Sting and then everybody will know. What the hell is that? It's Man Called Sting. Oh, okay.
Well, for the Raw after Mania, it's always going to be that smarky crowd anyways. Most of them are going to know who Sting is. It's just that they just got to make everyone else know.
Here's the thing, though. That's one night. Then you're screwed on the other nights that you do bring him in to work the program and no one knows who he is.
Well, you really just need a hot debut. Once you have that hot debut, people can go and they'll check out the library on WWE.com and the WWE Network. I remember that happened with Ultimate Warrior. When I first started watching, we went into WrestleMania 12. All I cared about was Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, but they're all of a sudden like, the Ultimate Warrior is coming back. Oh my God, it's the Ultimate Warrior. Ah! And I went to my local Blockbuster, or Captain Video, as it were, back then, and I rented some of the old tapes. I checked out The Ultimate Warrior. I was like, holy crap, this guy was, like, freaking crazy. And all the stuff he did. They could do the same thing with Sting. It's not that hard, especially when you own that entire library.
You see, it's a weird situation. He's so out of shape and banged up that the match is going to be abysmal. And I say, okay, put him on the shelf for a year, let him heal up. But then he's just going to get older, and you're still fucked. So,
neither of them are getting younger. So that's one thing you got to keep in mind.
I just say don't do it. Sign Sting, have him do some interviews for fucking DVDs and content for the WWE Network, talk about the old WCW days. Especially with this whole, like, Monday Night War thing they're doing, that'd be perfect for that. But as far as a match goes, it's done.
Let's just make him the GM of Raw. Yeah, why not?
Because that works so well for fucking TNA.
Yeah, it works so well with everything else. Everyone's going to be GM by the end of their career.
Now, what if we do similar to, like, Tony's idea, where Undertaker comes out the night after WrestleMania, he's all proud of himself for having defended the streak once again, and you think he's just going to disappear right off into the sunset until next WrestleMania. All of a sudden, he's confronted with Sting. Rather than waiting all the way the year until next year's WrestleMania, why don't we just jump ahead and do that match at Extreme Rules, or maybe at the latest SummerSlam? Could it still have that same power, and this way you don't have to worry about putting on that big WrestleMania performance out of these two old guys?
Extreme Rules is in New York now, right?
It's at the Izod Center, which is in New Jersey, but it would be that New York crowd. That's the same place that the night after WrestleMania's Raw took place at last year, so you can guarantee a hot crowd there.
I wouldn't like that. I think if you was gonna do that match, it would have to be at a big arena, maybe SummerSlam. Extreme Rules, no.
Too soon for Extreme Rules.
Plus, Undertaker might need that time to rest up.
Oh, he needs a whole year to rest up.
And well, honestly, let's not forget, it was right after WrestleMania last year he was doing those matches with the Shield.
Yeah, but don't you expect Brock Lesnar to be a little rough with him?
Yes.
That's CM Punk here.
Oh, shit, they might both have shot knees after the fucking Brock Lesnar match, so be an even playing field.
But Sting would have shot knees?
No, Undertaker's gonna have shot knees after the fucking Lesnar match, and so they'll both be on an even playing field.
Yeah. Wheelchair match, no DQ kind of thing.
Well, we invite all you out there listening to let us know what you would do with Sting, bringing him into the WWE. Call us, area code 760-512-7247. Tell us in the chat room below. We got lots of people going crazy with all their ideas in there. Wild, wild stuff. We don't know what we would do if all you people were on the writing team for WWE. It'd be a whole different show. That's what we jump into next here. I guess as we're talking about Brock Lesnar, let's talk about the opening segment that we had on the show. Paul Heyman is the first faces we see. Once again, a cold open. I swear this has got to be like 3 or 4 months running strong, cold opens. You hear the crowd chanting CM Punk strongly. Paul Heyman right away addresses it, not being coy about it at all, saying no one here wants CM Punk here more than me. Paul Heyman, though, demonstrates how much of a master he is by taking all that energy that the crowd has for CM Punk and parlaying it into heat for Brock Lesnar before bringing him out. Lesnar takes the mic for himself, which normally would bring on Dreads of Terror. He wasn't too bad tonight, though. I think he did an adequate performance. He says he does not make claims that he cannot back up and that he is going to dominate the streak. As he's getting ready to walk out, though, he's cut off by Mark Henry, still quite upset, I imagine, from having his arm broken a few weeks ago. I guess that was like a little over a month ago now. The two of them begin brawling all around the ring when Brock Lesnar eventually tears apart the announce table, throwing the monitors into the ring. It looks like he, like, frayed a few wires doing that. It's not done very well as far as respect to the expensive equipment that was there. Sure, Brock don't care, though. Brock Lesnar eventually lifts up Mark Henry onto his shoulders, F5s him through the table. I gotta say, this was one of the most exciting opening segments we've had to a Raw in a long time. And you know what? It got people's minds off of CM Punk really quickly. Let's go around and see what you guys thought about this opening segment, though. Tony?
I don't know. I mean, this went in a lot of different directions, didn't it? It started out as, oh my God, we're gonna get CM Punk. Oh, we got Paul Heyman. Is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? I don't know. Well, there's Brock Lesnar. Now they're talking about Undertaker. There's Mark Henry. No, Mark Henry's gone. Like, it's just like total chaos when it comes to the booking of it. It might have been a whole bunch of segments that they just decided they're gonna throw together, but I thought it was pretty entertaining. I'm a little bit annoyed that Mark Henry was made to look like a bitch again that fast, which is kind of surprising, but they do need somebody for Brock Lesnar to beat on the way to WrestleMania, and Mark Henry is somebody who can give him a little bit of extra clout, so I'm okay with that. One thing I thought was really funny, though, was fucking Brock Lesnar. He does the Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, and he not only, like, is that referring to yourself in the third tense, awkward as it is, but he also incorporated that voice crack that he does. It was like, it was magical. I want to replay that moment a whole bunch of times.
There's so many YouTube remixes of that stream. And now they got that to add to it. I can't fucking wait.
So that was pretty cool. You know, beating the crap out of Mark Henry or whatever. If they don't just keep doing this and they actually have like a match between the two or something like that, then that'll be cool. But if they make this a regular thing where Mark Henry can't last more than, you know, 45 seconds with Lesnar, that's a shame.
When would you do that?
What the hell? He's probably going to be on Raw for the next couple weeks. Just do it on Raw.
Brock Lesnar don't fight for free.
He'll get paid. Okay. Plus, he could take anything from the catering. Why not?
Drew, what did you think about the opening segment tonight, Drew?
I didn't like the beginning of it. I thought it got good after Lesnar got in. The only issue I have with the opening segment, what really that made it bad, was just how they played Punk's music and Bad News Barrett didn't come out. Because I still believe that would have been the best way they could have possibly played that whole bit off. But it just felt like when Heyman was talking about Punk, he was just kept on talking and talking, but it didn't really mean much. It was just, it's kind of like this, what one of Punk's promos he cut before the Rock, Heyman versus Rock last year. He just kept on talking and he didn't really get his point across that well, which he did get it across, but it was just kind of I didn't really like it that much. It could have been a lot better than what it was. But I did like Lesnar just beating down on Henry, though. I thought that was funny. I looked at Henry, when he ran into the steps, it was just so awkward, but it was funny at the same time. And it's always impressive when you see Lesnar give an F5 to someone that weighs over 400 pounds, especially if it's Mark Henry. So it was a good opening segment. It just left a bad taste in my mouth to an extent.
Steven, you would probably be the biggest Paul Heyman guy here. What'd you think about this opening bit?
I am? Cool. I thought the opening segment was awesome, and I put Paul Heyman above Bobby Heenan as far as managers go. This guy is so good on the stick. That was such a hostile CM Punk smarky crowd, and he turned it right around. Sure, there were still a few CM Punk chants, but he made it work. And to Brock Lesnar's credit, they wanted him and gave him CM Punk chance, and he didn't stumble one bit. Brock was on his A game tonight as well. I enjoyed pretty much everything up until the Mark Henry beatdown. I thought the one, I kind of seen it before already, so it's like, eh. And two, the F5 was awkward as hell. Like, he postured, he was slammed. He was already had his hand on the table, posturing himself up on the landing, so I just thought it looked weird. But as far as the talking as Heyman goes, it's golden as ever, and I love a Paul Heyman promo.
I thought that we really got Raw off to a hot note tonight, which I think exactly what they had to do. Match the energy of that crowd, and I don't think anyone could have handled, as you said, that incredibly hostile crowd like Paul Heyman, because there's very few people that crowd would have cheered for. I think it would have been like Daniel Bryan, maybe like Cesaro or Roman Reigns and the rest of the Shield and the Wyatts. And Paul Heyman. That's it. If you tried to open this show with like the Authority, no way. Couldn't happen. So let's talk about what was probably the most impressive match tonight, at least in my opinion. We had the Shield versus the Wyatts, a rematch in their match that we had from Elimination Chamber. Fantastic directly from the start. Seth Rollins doing these flips over the top rope onto both of the Wyatt tag team member guys, Rowan and Harper. And landing on his feet after he did it, which completely impressed me. Seth Rollins winning more and more in my respect every week. It's just got to blow some people's minds after all the trash talking I've done. Mm-hmm. However, just when I thought I was beginning to like him, actually, what does Seth Rollins do but walk out on the Shield? He says, I'm done. Roman Reigns pleads to him, dude, you're the glue. We need you to stay here and help us. Seth Rollins says, no, you guys figure it out. You finish this job on your own. Ambrose and Reigns, they try. but they couldn't do it. They were just outnumbered, outstrengthed. Bray Wyatt hits the Sister Abigail on the Dean Ambrose at the end for the pin. The Wyatts getting their second victory over the Shield. And just when I thought the Shield was starting to bring things back together, the dissension only seems heavier. Steven, where's this going?
It's going to a triple threat match for the Shield at WrestleMania, and it's going to be awesome. And this match was just totally awesome, too. And I'm just... This is the first time that I've, like, been really, really, really impressed with Seth Rollins. And as far as, like, the order of what I like these guys, I'm actually liking Seth Rollins more than Dean Ambrose these days. Though all three of them deserve praise. Ambrose, everything he does is really unique. He, like... When he was selling and he spat in one of the faces of the Wyatt family, every little thing he does to his selling and his movements are awesome. Seth Rollins looked like a beast with all his aerial stuff. And Jesus Christ, that spear over the announce table is awesome. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where this finally leads up, because these three guys can go and man up the future of this company.
That spear, how about Harper once again doing the tope? Guy's got some skills. Air Harper. He earned himself a new vest for that.
Yeah. For one, so, yeah, with that vest on, I guess Seth Rollins is the smelliest one in there.
That's what Seth Rollins is doing. He's trying to earn his clothes.
Doing all those flips. Yeah, do you know how he, like, had the boots in Ambrose's face, and he's like, oh, I wonder how bad that smells, and I'm like, eh, can't be any worse than Seth Rollins.
Oh, goodness gracious. Drew, what'd you think of this match?
I loved it. This was a fantastic match. From Seth Rollins in the beginning, just doing flips over the ropes and landing on his feet for almost all of them. I thought that was impressive enough on its own. And honestly, the more I see the Shield, the more I believe that all three of them could do great things in their career. I mean, everyone just thinks Roman Reigns and possibly Dean Ambrose could be the standout ones. But I really think all three of them can somehow... do amazing things with the WWE in their career. And I think when we look back on this match, because I didn't get to see the Elimination Chamber match between the two teams, so I can't really talk about that. But everyone's just going to, with this match, you're just really going to be talking about the Shield and not much about the Wyatts. But, you know, the Wyatts did very good in this match for what they were. You know, they were kind of like to beat them down. You know, they needed to keep Roman Reigns out of the ring, which they played that throughout most of the match. And I was, out of all the three members of the Shield that just kind of left them, I was really surprised that they went with Seth Rollins, because he's been the guy kind of like holding them together. And like when Seth Rollins left, he was like, I can't be the glue of this group anymore. I thought that was very true to what it was. I still think Dean Ambrose should be the one that leaves and be the definite heel of the three going into WrestleMania. But, you know, I feel Seth Rollins and Reigns have been portrayed as faces going forward, but you know, this was very good. I thought everything was great in this match, and there's nothing really to complain about.
I'm gonna reserve my reply to yours in a second. Tony, why don't you tell me what you thought about this match first?
Fucking awesome, entertaining on all levels, just like the Elimination Chamber match. Reigns is keeping up the progress, he's improving just more and more every single week. Rollins is stepping up his game, flipping around like a madman, making that really entertaining. Ambrose, who I was kind of criticizing him a little bit about being bland, and that it sort of seemed what I'm going to kind of repeat what Wego was saying, where it sort of seemed like he was falling down and not being the most entertaining of the group, which he started out as the standout, and Rollins and Reigns were kind of eclipsing him. Ambrose is picking that back up again. He's got like a little bit of reinvigorated spirit to himself or something now. I think that this is awesome. I don't know what it is about these two teams, but nobody has been able to have better matches than these two teams against each other. And everything they're fucking touching is gold lately. Like, the Wyatt family, obviously, they have some more limitations than the Shield does, but they're doing a pretty damn good job on their own. The Shield is really just, they've been kicking ass for months, and this triple threat that we're almost assured to have at WrestleMania is probably going to be either the match of the night or the secondary choice for match of the night. I can't imagine these three guys not being huge, huge stars in the company for years and years to come. Just fucking awesome. Definitely a highlight for tonight.
All right. Well, I started putting this theory out there. I don't know if it was on this show, if it was on Smack Talk. I don't think we're seeing this triple threat you guys are talking about. I still think that we're seeing this continuation of Shield versus Wyatt's. Maybe we'll do this triple threat and we'll come back to the... In the end, I don't think the Shield is completely splitting apart. As you said, these guys are only as awesome as they've ever been. It's way too soon to break them up. These guys still have so much steam, so much more that you could put out there with them before splitting them apart. You could do a split-up match next year at WrestleMania and still hold these guys through this next year as babyfaces. I think the excellent storytelling you could have here is Seth Rollins is the perfect guy to be getting frustrated, because most of the arguing has been going on between Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and it makes sense because it's over the whole thing of is who the leader of the Shield is. And they mentioned that on commentary. Initially, people would have assumed it was Dean Ambrose. However, lately, it's been seeming like it was Roman Reigns. They're just bickering and arguing over that, and they can never work as a team. Well, in tonight's match, you saw Seth Rollins storm off because he was tired of there being no teamwork. As soon as Seth Rollins turned away, you saw Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns trying to work more as a team. Dean Ambrose holding down Luke Harper, maybe it was Eric Rowan's face, into the rope saying, "Roman, get this guy." Roman Reigns comes around the ring, does that leaping dropkick into the guy's face. Fortunately, it wasn't enough. I thought it would have been cool if they still could pull out the victory, but it does make sense. You got to get them all three as a unit. And the place for that, I think, would be WrestleMania, where these guys can absolutely give The Undertaker a high run for his money for having that match of the night for the first time in a number of years.
What the hell are they going to do with Cena?
Well, hopefully Cena... Well, I don't want to say hopefully, but I don't want this Bray Wyatt-John Cena match. I don't think that that's going to be fitting anybody's top plate for what they want to see at WrestleMania. I think that's a gross underuse of both characters for what you could be doing at WrestleMania with them.
Here's an idea, though, kind of merge both concepts in one.
What's that?
You do the triple threat match, but that doesn't mean that the Shield splits up. That's just them arguing, and by the end of the match, they just go, "All right, fuck, we're all awesome. Let's go kick everybody else's ass."
Mm-hmm.
And then they just fully transition into baby faces. They've all earned each other's respect.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. They have the match, and do you know how they do that fist bump thing? They could all just, like, fucking...
One by one, put it in.
Yeah, but, like, you know how people shake hands of respect at the end of a match, and that's what they do, and they blow off the steam, and they're back as a unit.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. In the end, if they want to have a match with the three of them against each other, that's cool. I don't think they should be splitting the group up, though. I think there's still too many people that really like this, and I think if you split them up, yes, you have potential for three big stars, which you will have anyway further on down the line, but I think you run the risk of one, maybe even two of these guys fading into obscurity.
Okay. So kind of do what they did with, like, the Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 21, except don't break them up until a lot later.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. I don't think you know what I'm talking about, but sure, yeah.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, man, no, I know what I'm talking about. You know me, I know so much about the history, you know.
Is that match where Ray got injured?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, TC.
All right, guys, so we're talking about tag teams that are splitting up. Let's talk about a tag team that was also having lots of dissension tonight. That was the Real Americans. We got to see Big E wrestle not once, but twice. First coming out for a match with Cesaro earlier in the evening. Right after, Cesaro hits the big swing on him. Jack Swagger runs in, getting Jack Swagger disqualified. A little bit of a continuation of the interruptions of matches that they've had going over the last couple weeks. And again, the favor was returned. Later on the night, we had Big E against Jack Swagger. Cesaro running into the match almost immediately. It was like a complete waste of time for the disqualification. The two got in each other's face. Zeb Coulter was there, though, to play the mediator. Looks like he's got them on the same page, at least for now, but where the crap is this going? Are these guys going to have a match at WrestleMania? Are they going to be part of some big multi-man match where they might have some type of face down in this? I don't know. Tony?
Yeah, you know what? That's the best way of putting it. I have no idea what they're going to do. This WrestleMania card seems pretty confusing because it looks like they're building towards quite a bit of singles matches that aren't really going to be that great. We'll talk about it later with Christian and Sheamus and everything, but I don't want to see Cesaro against Swagger at WrestleMania. I don't think that that's WrestleMania worthy. Maybe Cesaro getting some kind of a decent match would be good, but I really think that this push that they're giving him is a little bit too premature to do that. And Swagger is not the person to go with either, because nobody's really going to care. I don't get how we're seeing a build-up to a potential match between these two splitting up, but at the same time, we haven't even bothered with Goldust and Cody Rhodes. That's really confusing me. So, if that's their plan, to split up the Real Americans and make that a featured match at WrestleMania, I don't think it's going to go over well.
Huh. iRadius brings up an interesting idea. Swagger versus Cesaro in the pre-show. He also says with Zeb as a ref. I don't know if Zeb can do that. He's a little old. But I like the idea if you put him in the pre-show, that's fine. I think that could be a good spot to have those two guys face each other.
That could be cool.
Yeah. Steven, what about you?
I'm not sure where they're going with this. That'd be cool if these guys had a single match, if the belt's on the line, say one of them wins the IC title prior to Mania. Perhaps a triple threat match with themselves and Big E, since Big E kind of is in the center of all of this. What I'd love is for Cesaro to actually say if they're in a tag team match, and Cesaro to actually have the face turn at Mania, and for weeks keep teasing him doing the big swing on Jack Swagger, and then give him the biggest big swing that he's ever done. Like, there's one of him on the indies doing 100 rotations to do that or something at Mania.
Am I the only one that gets extremely pissed off how the crowd does not know how to count those damn things?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the one that's went over 100 is because they miscounted.
It was more like 75, which is still a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But they were counting way too, and they still count way too fast. Like, and it's like, I feel bad for Cesaro, because I imagine in his head he's trying to swing faster to catch up to them. But
but yeah. I'd love a face turn at Mania where he does the big swing, or, because again, I don't think a singles match with these two guys is WrestleMania worthy. Pre-show, maybe.
True.
I don't really care what they do with these guys right now, and it just leaves bad taste in my mouth. So I don't really know what they should do with them, and I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, all right. So we talked about a tag team, two tag teams, in fact, that are not doing so well. Let's talk about a tag team that had a great night tonight, though. The Bella Twins. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about the Usos, who went up against the New Age Outlaws once again for the tag team titles. They fought that. Valiantly, and this time they were successful in getting the tag team titles. The Usos getting their first reign after being in the company after, what, 4 years now? Maybe even five? They've been there a long time. Great journey for those guys. A lot of people gotta be happy for them, but kind of an odd stage on this one random Raw just before WrestleMania. You think they couldn't waited a few more weeks to have done it there, but hey, that's the way it is. I think the interesting turn of this that we have to consider, though, is tomorrow night they keep advertising this live edition of Main Event that's going to be on the WWE Network, and the big match they've been advertising is both the Usos and the New Age Outlaws going against each other once again for the tag titles. Could this just be a one-night stint, and hopefully just to create more buzz for the WWE Network's Main Event show? Tony?
I really hope they don't drop the title tomorrow night. Partially because I think the Usos deserve this championship run. I wouldn't have given them the title tonight on Raw. I think that's a little odd that they sort of did that instead of giving them that WrestleMania. But then again, I'm somebody who almost every single year when I'm playing fantasy booking of WrestleMania, I put a giant tag match on the card, and you know that never really changes. So maybe that's just me stuck in my ways. If they lose it tomorrow night, I don't know who's going to beat the New Age Outlaws, but it would be worth a damn. Because you can't just have them win it again at WrestleMania, then why bother switching it in the first place? So if the plan is not to keep the titles on them, it's going to kill them by losing it tomorrow night. I hope that they just retain it. And for WrestleMania, I don't know what the hell they'll do. But what the hell, why not just go with my my standard plan and throw everybody in big match together? I'll be fine with that.
Hmm. Drew?
I feel like the only reason why they had him switch the titles tonight was from what Mike Payton said at the start of the show, which WWE kind of was trying to make this as stacked of a card as they could, so they could not focus, the crowd couldn't focus as much attention on CM Punk. And the turnout for the when they did win was pretty darn big. It got a big pop when they won. So I feel like that is the only reason why they won tonight instead of waiting until Mania. But, you know, hopefully they don't drop it tomorrow. That'd be a shame. But what happened to Cody Rhodes and Goldust? They were on tonight, and that surprised me a little because, you know, they've been there for a while. So, yeah.
They got into playing with toys and stuff like that, and that's pretty much all they do.
Bad News Barrett's supposed to bother them, though, when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he wasn't there tonight either. I guess he probably fell for the toys, too.
He's probably hanging out with Punk.
I don't know. Steven, save the last for you, man, because I know you got a lot to say about this.
I'm really, really upset and irked about this match, and I'm surprised that this, out of all the things on tonight's card, is what pissed me off. I don't understand why you'd fuck the big payoff off on Raw tonight. It's just like the whole... It's meant to be kind of like the Daniel Bryan situation that we wanted, a Cinderella story where these guys have been working in the company for so long and they finally get the big payoff at WrestleMania. And they've pissed it all away. I still want them to win the championships at WrestleMania, but now if they win it on main event just to plug the network, it takes it away. I don't understand why you do this. I just keep screwing them over, so when they finally win it, it'd be so much bigger. It just really irks me. They don't get their Mania moment now.
No, indeed. I mean, what do you do with the tag titles that at Mania now, though? Who does the Usos face? Who else do you create a feel-good moment with them? I mean, they would pretty much have to triumph over some amazing insurmountable odds, like having a scramble where they're the number one tag team to come out.
Honestly, I just do New Age Outlaws versus the Usos again. They've so in deep with the storyline now that I don't think you can really do anything else. Maybe a multi-man match, bring Rhodes there, the Rhodes brothers in maybe. Other than that, I don't know what they're going to do. They really fucked themselves tonight.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you listening out there, if you have any opinions about the Usos winning the tag team title tonight or anything else that happened on tonight's Monday Night Raw, call in to the NPR Raw Post Show, area code 760-512-7247. Operators are standing by. You can also join us with the Skype icon at the top of the page. It'll dial you in with your Skype client, whether you're on your computer or your phone. Either one will work. And we also have the chat room rolling if you're on the broadcast page. Just scroll on down. You can check that out. And of course, I always forget to mention it. You can join in via Twitter using the hashtag Raw Post Show. Actually got this window up. Let me see if there's anything going on right there. Nope. Somebody talking in Spanish. I'm sorry. We don't speak Spanish here.
Olé.
Olé. that's only Spanish we know. I was actually watching the pre-show on the WWE Network, and they had an interview with Los Matadores because they won their match that was recorded for Superstars, and it was abysmal.
Oh, man. No, that just means they're getting pushed to the moon. They'll be in the tag team picture at Mania. Everyone knows that.
It was awful. They said that Jerry Lawler and El Torito have a lot in common. You know what it is?
What?
They're both horny.
That's
brilliant.
Goodness.
Who did they beat at Superstars? Was it like 3MB or something?
I think it was Ryback-Axel.
Wow.
How far they've fallen, right?
Damn.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know. Gosh, what the heck else happened on tonight's show?
Did anyone pick up Oksana's sex reference when they're watching Need for Speed?
Well, yeah, okay. So that was a really terrible backstage diva segment after they showed a short preview for the Need for Speed movie coming up, and they are mentioning how Dolph Ziggler is going to be pairing up with Aaron Paul later on in the evening, and all the divas just sit there pretty much going, ooh, cute guy. Ooh. Hmm. Oh. It was not enjoyable.
What was it that Oksana had said? She said something like, "I want to ride Aaron Paul or something."
I like fast cars or something.
I don't know. She said like something like, "Ooh, I'd like to ride them," and everyone's just kind of like, "What do you mean?" Like, I like it when they drive fast or something like that. I was just laughing because it's so stupid.
I like fast cars. Do you?
Ooh.
She just like turns to the camera and goes, "I like dicks." That's a joke here.
Yo, so how is it that Oksana is not the chick with the crazy accent anymore? We got Lana coming up now introducing Alexander Rusev. What the hell is that word she says when she first comes up? Minion! Minion!
Push me.
Probably something in Bulgarian. Probably like, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys.
Anyone in the chat room speak Bulgarian? Can you tell me what Minion means?
Well, we got a guy who speaks Spanish, so he must know some Bulgarian.
Yeah, because all Spanish people fucking speak Bulgarian.
Makes sense, doesn't it? I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just speaking the truth.
All right. Time Cow is letting us know that we have a caller on the line that we're going to bring on to the show. Caller from the 337 area code, you are live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. Tell us your name, where you're calling from.
That's all I wanted to do. It's Joseph Stallman.
What's up, Joe? What's shaking, bro? What'd you think about tonight's Raw?
Oh, it was great. In the chat room, we were talking about tranny porn and how China is tranny porn.
Okay, oh. That's absolutely fantastic. is that going to be on the WWE Network?
In the chat room. Huh?
Is that going to be on the WWE Network?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about talking about people put it on there.
Okay. Oh, you produced it?
Yeah, I produced it.
Well, fantastic.
You were there.
Joe, what'd you think about everything that went down on Raw tonight, man? What'd you think about the continuation of the Wyatts versus Shield?
I'm a huge fan of the Wyatts. I think it's a great idea to keep putting them on the show. But eventually, we're gonna get tired out. So hopefully, this ends at WrestleMania, and then we only see them together at the big ones, the big pay per views that they have. But I think it's a great idea. I mean, eventually they're gonna run out of shit to do, though, so you're gonna wear it out. So I'm hoping they don't do that.
What about the Usos winning the tag team titles for the first time tonight?
I'm with Wager. They should have waited till WrestleMania. It was a waste. There was no build up. I mean, they did all this work to put in to get all these tag teams going, and they talked this big talk of having all these great tag teams and how it's a new era in the tag teams for the WWE. And then they start dropping tag teams, and then they put the tag team matches on pre-shows for the pay-per-views, which is pointless. I mean, you can't build them up without, giving them some time to get out there and do stuff. And then they get out tonight and they beat them super quick. And it's super quick to the point. And I think tomorrow night they're going to end up dropping the belts on main event back to the Outlaws. And then that way they have to chase them to WrestleMania again, because the Outlaws lose, technically they can't go again, right? That's
indeed
their rematch clause.
Yep. No, they don't follow rules. What are you kidding? Just like you're supposed to defend the title every 30 days, right? Yeah,
okay. Definitely.
What about Chicago tonight, man? Good crowd, but no CM Punk tonight.
Yeah, big fan of the crowd. The crowd was fantastic. The crowd made that Raw. I said earlier that this was Raw on fast forward. This is exactly like it was in the Attitude Era. Every match was super quick to the point, including the tag team match, which kind of sucked. But other than that, they were all very quick, very, very to the point. And the crowd, they didn't let the crowd get a chance to boo the match, except for the Sheamus match. But really, I mean, if you think about it, they didn't really boo too many matches. There was still CM Punk chants, but they still cheered when they were supposed to. They still booed when they were supposed to. And their boos were either boos or CM Punk chants, which was fine. I don't think it hurt the show. I think it helped the show. I think they did a badass job. It was a great crowd.
Yeah, at no point did I feel like this crowd was truly in a rebellion against the product. They definitely wanted to cheer for their hometown hero, and I'm sure they were upset that he wasn't there. But it doesn't seem like anyone aside from Batista, who is a heel now, was getting anything different than the reaction they were supposed to be getting. Maybe John Cena, but even John Cena won them over by the end of his promo.
Exactly, and I think Batista, it helped Batista. I mean, they talked this big game of, well, if we don't have CM Punk, we're going to hijack the show. And, I mean, they didn't really do that. All they did was help the show. So I say, kudos, Chicago. Thank you. They made the show fantastic.
Well, what else stuck out from the show tonight, man?
I keep waiting for that noise. Like, I'm antsy now. the ending, there it was.
No, seriously, Paul Bearer in the Hall of Fame. That'll be your last one.
I thought it was great. I think it was fantastic. Earlier you said, you and Giggles said something about it being too soon, last year at the Hall of Fame. But yeah, that's true. His name's Giggles. Remember he Giggles? last year you said that last year was too soon to put him in the Hall of Fame, which I can understand, but was it too soon to spray his ashes all over the place on The Undertaker?
Absolutely, it was.
Too soon?
Yes, it was.
Too soon? I like the fact that Stephanie McMahon / Randy Savage's whore, she got booed hardcore by the crowd. I always find that entertaining.
Okay, and then lastly, the high point, low point from tonight's show for you, dude.
Low point, no CM Punk, and high point, the crowd, for sure. That and talking to you, Sexy.
Oh, God, you guys, please, please. My heart is taken by Paige.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The pale skin wonder.
Oh, she's gorgeous, and she did fantastic on NXT Arrival. For anyone who has not watched it yet, if you have the WWE Network, get your asses on there to watch NXT Arrival. Fantastic show. And Joe, fantastic call, bro. We'll talk to you again next time. Have a good night, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Time Cow, catching on, folks. Be sure to be on the lookout for the Time Cow shirts coming soon.
I love how he sweet talks you and you say his call's fantastic.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere here on the Raw Post Show.
Yeah.
If you want to flatter me, call in. Area code 760-512-7247 is the line to dial in with your telephone. Or you can also do it with Skype. Press the Skype button on there or in the chat room. We'll keep things rolling here on the NPR Raw Post Show. Next, we'll dig into our Divas match we had for the evening. I know we're always so excited to talk about that. We had the Bella Twins teaming up to go against Oksana and Alicia Fox. No doubt, ring classic of the year. Unfortunately, I was downstairs cooking chicken nuggets during this match.
Were they Tyson chicken nuggets?
No, they were corn chicken nuggets.
That sucks.
No, they were delicious. They were fantastic, and they were semi-healthy for you.
So, corn and chicken nuggets?
No, it wasn't like C-O-R-N. It was Q-U-O-R-N or Q-U-A-R-N.
Okay.
There's some like, you know, health food. You know, you go to the health food section?
Yeah.
You buy those. No, those were what was there.
I see.
Anyway, what you guys think of this match? Anybody?
Nikki Bella.
Everyone seems to be on the Nikki train lately. What's this about?
Well, because she looks great. Yeah, no complaints. She looks great.
They always looked great.
Yeah, except Nikki. Well, Bree used to look a lot better than Nikki to me, in my opinion. But I don't know. Lately, Nikki has been winning me over. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because she's showing more than what she used to. But, hey, I'm not going to complain. I mean, if that's your thing, go for it.
What does how much she so have to do with anything?
I bet that everyone here is a male. You know.
Oh.
I'm the youngest, so I'm still horny like that. I'm like JR.
Okay, so you want to do something about this?
Yeah, pretty much.
You guys got anything you want to throw in about it?
I actually kind of like the match. I would rather watch that again than the Sheamus and Christian one. I'll give you that.
We'll get to that, but first off, let's talk about our other diva involvement we had tonight. We had a mixed tag match. Emma from NXT teaming with Santino Marella to go against Fandango and Summer Rae. This was fine, short little mixed tag match. They had a fun little opening bit where Santino and Emma kept doing high fives, causing them to have to switch, making Fandango and Summer Rae have to switch as well because of the rules of a mixed tag match. Match ends with Emma once again putting the Emma lock on Summer Rae. Looked fantastic. Summer Rae looked fantastic with this new weird tassel outfit that she has on. I was okay with this, other than Santino being there and Emma dancing. Everything was pretty much okay.
This was so stupid.
So you're like, everything's okay except one half of the match?
This is so stupid.
I like Emma. I just don't like Emma's that, dance.
And we end up having Time Cow.
I don't know. I thought it was so stupid. The ending was quite far. After the match, I thought that was the stupidest thing ever. How they played the whole, oh man, Santino. Oh no, Emma. Oh no, Emma's gonna jump at Santino's arm. Oh no, sidestep.
I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty damn catchy.
It's catchy, but God, dude.
I just wish the people in the audience weren't doing the dance, because you're encouraging them. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it, Chicago. You let me down when you did that
really
dance.
Do it. I felt like they were booing it more than doing it.
No, there was definitely a good amount of them doing the dance in the audience. Yeah, and it wasn't like they were tight on a few people, so you could accuse them of the whole plants thing. They actually had wide shots, and you can see a decent amount of people doing
it. Yeah, but I thought there were still a few. I thought I heard boos when they were doing it as well. I know I saw some people doing it, just because, you know, you still see people do the Fandango thing still, but I thought I heard some boos still as well.
Hmm. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm the kid who believes that Brock Lesnar injured someone today when he threw one of the TV things into the crowd. But, you know, that's just me. I think weird things.
Okay.
Okay, giggles.
Well, we mentioned it briefly during this segment here. Sheamus versus Christian, a match that seems to be gaining a lot of heat tonight. Pretty much overall, people seem to think it's a healthy show, at least. You know, nothing too extraordinary except for maybe the Wyatt's versus Shield match. But nothing that was be too offensive either, except for this. This was that match during the show that would normally get those insufferable chants when they're chanting the announcer's names or Randy Savage. Well, this, they just gave it to CM Punk and the typical boring.
The awful chants.
The match went on way much longer than it had to going through the commercial break. Did have a pretty cool ending, I thought, though, with Sheamus hitting that bro kick while he was on the outside ring apron. I thought that was kind of neat. That was all you really had to have, though. Christian, looking orange as ever again. I guess he's preparing for his role in the
Christian
Karen 2.
The Karen.
He's the Karen 2. I don't know. Tony, what about this match, dude?
I don't want to fucking see these two at WrestleMania. I really don't. I mean, I didn't think that this was worthy of a "this is awful" chant, necessarily. We've had much worse matches that never got that kind of a rap. But at the same time, this was definitely one of the low points of the night. It's a shame because you would think that these two guys being in the Elimination Chamber, they should be two people that you should depend upon to have a good match any time of the week. But they don't mesh well together. And I don't buy Christian being like the angry heel who can get one up on Sheamus at the same time trying to make Sheamus that tough guy that can beat the crap out of anybody. It just doesn't work out. And I really especially don't want to see these two at WrestleMania because of the fact that we've already seen them fight each other a couple of times. So it doesn't matter if they give you some kind of a stupid fucking Belfast brawl or they do, a lumberjack match or something like that where they add a stipulation to it. I don't want to see these two in any capacity at WrestleMania together. So for two guys that spent the majority of the past year out on injury to come back and this is all that they are building up to, that's a shame.
And it's kind of weird. You have so many feuds like that right now. They're just like these random two people together. Maybe they do have some kind of backstory, such as like with Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, but they're not WrestleMania caliber, even on the low card level.
No, not at all. I mean, I've been looking back at old WrestleManias just to kind of like get myself in the mindset for it. And yeah, in the past, we used to have WrestleMania matches that kind of sucked in retrospect. You know, Shawn Michaels versus Tatanka. Well, you know, that's not going to be something that nowadays we would go fucking crazy over. But we got to a point
Wait a minute. Tatanka was a really big deal at that time. Well, wasn't he still undefeated going into that match?
Was he?
I think so.
I don't know. Maybe that's even better than I'm remembering it. But at the same time, that would even be better than what we're getting now because neither of these guys have anything interesting going for them. So they can't throw somebody like Sheamus and somebody like Christian together on the card and just go, well, they've been former champions. This works. They got to put more effort into that.
But Christian's orange. That's
oranger than the orange hair, and maybe that's how they just paired the two up.
Maybe they're hoping they'll just hit each other hard enough that they just become one orange bean.
Oh my goodness gracious. Drew?
I didn't really watch it. I was playing Clark Gink Evolved because I didn't really find this match interesting, so I really can't say too much about it.
All right, Steven?
I could not give a fuck. This is the second long boring match they've had now. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to their third long boring match at WrestleMania.
They're going to have like three more before then, you know that.
Oh, fuck me.
Could be one SmackDown this week, probably.
Christian should be doing one thing. Jobbing to guys like Big E Langston for his Intercontinental title run. And Sheamus? I don't know what you do with Sheamus, because I don't think he's a main eventer. Shit, throw him in the IC title run too. I just... At least if they were feuding over that, this feud would have something, but I don't know. I just could not give a rat's ass.
No, we mentioned that these two were injured. I'm really surprised that Christian hasn't gotten injured yet since he returned. Because, you know, he has a tendency to come back for 2 weeks and then gets injured again. I'm really surprised he hasn't been injured yet.
Well, it's only a matter of time. You know, there's still a few weeks until WrestleMania. Who knows what could happen?
Maybe Ray will be healed
Sheamus
by then.
Was covered in bruises all over his body. He did not look good.
I didn't realize he had the tape on him. Did he have the tape on him tonight?
He did not. He had it on Thursday, though, and I saw that. I was like, what Thursday. The heck is on his side? Well, not Thursday, on Friday for SmackDown.
Well, no one's going to pick that up. We're not that old, Peyton.
True. Oh, gosh. Oh, we had a match tonight between Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler. First, Alberto Del Rio comes out, and all of a sudden you hear this loud engine revving, and I'm just confused. I'm like, what? What is that noise? What is someone coming out on a motorcycle? Is freaking Chuck Palumbo about to come out? That would have pissed me off. But no, it was Dolph Ziggler coming out in a car driven by Aaron Paul, the star of Need for Speed. It was some super special edition Mustang. I don't know nothing about it. I don't know anything about cars. Aaron Paul escorts Dolph Ziggler out, ends up going over on commentary for the match, eventually jumping up onto the announce table for the distraction, giving Dolph Ziggler the win over about Alberto Del Rio, further burying Alberto Del Rio down the card. Hallelujah. Thank you, Aaron Paul. I never thought I'd be so happy to see you. Steven, I know you're the biggest fan of Aaron Paul here, so what do you think about this involvement for him? Was this one of the better Raw involvements for a celebrity?
I am a huge Breaking Bad fan, so when I saw him on the announcement for Raw, I was actually really excited. And he paid off. He did the one thing he should. Fuck Del Rio. I mean, like, if you had to say, okay, we're going to put a celebrity, what should we do with him? Fuck Del Rio? Yeah, fuck Del Rio. That's the perfect thing for him. And it worked. And not just that, Dolph Ziggler got a fucking win out of it. Indeed. So, awesome.
Tony?
I like how when Ziggler came out, there was this giant pop, and Aaron Paul comes out, he's like, oh, yeah, it's for me. Like, it's like, no, it fucking isn't.
David Mago was going to mention that.
You can completely eradicate Aaron Paul's participation in this episode. It wouldn't change anything for me. I love the idea that Del Rio lost. I love the idea that Ziggler won. So, hey, cool. Aaron Paul does nothing for me. I'm not Oksana.
Oh, Drew?
I don't want to ride Aaron Paul.
Drew?
So, yeah, he fucked Del Rio. He got a pop that he thought was his, but it wasn't. And Ziggler won. So, yeah, go team.
Gosh. Is anyone here interested in seeing Need for Speed?
Oh, the movie looked... That bit they showed was fucking terrible.
How come JBL like kept saying... They use no special effects, no green screens, no CGI. It's all practical. It's all live.
Well, Vince yelled it down.
Yeah, probably. Oh, God. That was fucking terrible.
You know, I'll give it a Netflix watch.
The only thing that he's going to participate in that I'm interested in is Better Call Saul.
Who?
Breaking Bad spinoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard about
Ooh,
that.
Yeah, Saul.
If I wasn't going to check out Fast and the Furious, I certainly am not going to check out the ripoff.
Oh, they should have done Need for Speed a long time ago. It's too late now.
Indeed. Let's see here. We had John Cena come out to address the Wyatts. He actually does a pretty good job addressing the Chicago crowd, eventually semi-winning them over to his side, saying that they may not like him, but he still takes note of how loud and important they are and how they're one of the most fun cities for wrestling to go into. And they actually end up buying the bait a little bit, so good for them. Bray Wyatt eventually interrupts him, comes on the screen. I couldn't remember a damn word he said. As much as I want to be into Bray Wyatt's character now, I go back to how I felt about 2 months ago, where I'm just tuning out whenever he's doing this thing with John Cena, and that's not good. Not good at all. What do you guys feel on this, though? Drew, why don't you go first?
I think we have heel Cena, as in this is probably as close as we're going to get to a heel with Cena as we ever will. And when I say that, I mean that, like, the whole, oh, I'm not going to put over young talent, you got to go through me first. I think no one likes that, and he always gets booed when he does it. So I think that's as close as a heel we're ever going to get. So good for him. Good for him.
Tony?
News. I don't like this feud. And I don't know how they're going to take it in any way that'll change my mind. Just a bore.
Indeed. Steven?
It's okay.
Really?
Couldn't give a fuck.
Okay. We got a little bit of a tease that next week Hulk Hogan will be at Raw with a special WrestleMania announcement. So real quick, what do we think this announcement could be, Steven?
Hulk Hogan.
Wait, who's announcing what now?
Hulk Hogan has a special WrestleMania announcement next week. What is it?
He's getting his 17th back surgery.
Tony?
He has Alzheimer's, and he forgot that he already announced that he's the host.
Awesome.
Drew, good luck with that, following that one up.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even. Nope, I just pass. I'm not even going to tip two. Pop that.
Tony killed it.
You killed it. You fucking. You're kind of like that big match, and then I'm like the cooldown, and I'm not even going to tip to be the
you're,
cooldown.
You're like Triple H and Jericho after Rock and Hogan.
Yeah, that's me. I'm not even going to tip it.
You mean you're Orton Batista after Triple H and Daniel Bryan?
No, it's not going to happen. Did you not listen to Triple H for the past 2 weeks? He said it's not going to happen.
Legitimately, though, I think this might have something to do with a Hall of Fame announcement and maybe even someone else having some type of involvement at WrestleMania, maybe for someone like a Mr. T.
Brooke?
Oh, gosh. Please not Brooke.
Maybe he's going to induct the Ultimate Warrior.
Could be.
But is that good enough to deserve an announcement on Raw?
Absolutely it is. Hogan and Warrior have a lot of history in that company.
I know, but I don't know. I feel like it's...
Brother.
You just don't understand. Two young giggles.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, probably got about 10, 15 minutes of show left here on the NPR Raw Post Show. So if you want to dial in, get on the line. Area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us with Skype or in the chat room. Get your opinions in there to join us on the show talking about tonight's WWE Raw. Guys, we have one final match we're going to be talking about. It was our main event tonight. It was the Animal Batista, who has recently began his vendetta against all the heroes of the fans. Tonight, couldn't have picked a better hero from the fans, Daniel Bryan. Don't really know how to explain how this match went because there was nothing special about it, which is sad to say for a Daniel Bryan match because usually he can pull the best thing out of anybody, and this wasn't truly exceptional, but it was also short, and I guess they could be saving it for another time. Eventually, it gets interrupted by the Authority, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon walking down to ringside. Randy Orton, was he on commentary the whole time? And I just didn't notice.
No, he just sat out there.
Yeah, he was sitting out there. I thought that was weird. I thought he was getting on commentary.
Well, he jumps into the ring. He tries to put the RKO onto Batista, but Batista pushes him away, causing him to get hit by the running knee by Daniel Bryan. However, Daniel Bryan remains outnumbered, gets speared by Batista. Triple H grabs a mic, gets in his face, says, "I'm tired of all your fantasy games," whatever he was saying, but Daniel Bryan, ever reliant, kicks Triple H in the head, knocking him aside. Batista doesn't take kindly to that, though. Hits a Batista bomb. Triple H takes off his shirt, hits the pedigree of his own, and Raw goes off the air with Daniel Bryan looking absolutely disheveled, being attacked multiple times by all these people. The odds have never seemed greater for Daniel Bryan, and his current WrestleMania situation still seems in question as we never got a confirmation for a match with Triple H. Tony, where's this going?
Anybody else have the same opinion about this with me, that you didn't pay attention to the match whatsoever because you were just waiting for CM Punk to come out, and when he didn't, especially because they went through the overrun, that it was just a total flop?
Yes.
Yep, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's the best way to sum this up. I couldn't remember anything about the match itself, just my disappointment afterward.
And especially because it went on so long. You're right. I mean, the overrun, we always have a little bit of overrun, and it causes this post show to start a little bit later, which is fine. But I think they went their full 15 minutes, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Drew, where do you think this is going?
The Daniel Bryan Triple H match is going to happen. The match itself, it probably was the worst match Bryan's ever been in, but the best match Batista's ever been in, just from that standpoint. We didn't really mention it tonight, but the segment between Bryan and Triple H and Stephanie, that happened as well. And yeah, so pretty much if you're a CM Punk fan, you got fucked this episode because you didn't get him back.
Indeed.
That's the best way to put it.
Steven?
First off, Bryan's worst match was with Eric Rowan, and Batista's best match was with The Undertaker. That aside, this whole segment was a fucking flop. And I felt it would have been more impactful on a different episode of Raw and in a different crowd. But with all the rumors swirling around, everyone so hyped up, the fact that you didn't get CM Punk, and the fact that they overrun made you think you was definitely getting CM Punk, it was just kind of meh.
Indeed. I, as I said, just could not find myself tuned into this match whatsoever, and that's awful for a Daniel Bryan situation. Daniel Bryan, you think would be the person is absolutely the person I'm most excited for, and you think I'd want to pay attention to anything he's doing. Just not the case. And I don't even particularly hate Batista so much, so I don't know why I had that problem, but maybe it is what your guys were saying. I was just expecting something else, and we didn't get it. Maybe it was a combination that it was the overrun. I found myself yawning a lot during this, and I'm a little tired, but I'm not so tired that I would see myself yawning every, like, 30 seconds.
Oh, no, when they announced it at the beginning of Raw, I was pumped for it, but then when it got to, like, the match, when the match actually began, it was already, like, 11 o'clock, and I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't going to last that long. So then I started tuning out and just paying attention to see if Punk came out, and I felt like that's what really did it, because it came on so late.
I don't know. Well, guys, any other random thoughts you want to put out there about tonight's Raw?
I just saw a picture on SE Scoops, and Sheamus got sliced open pretty good in that match. It's a shame, because the match fucking blew.
All the hard work for nothing.
Yeah.
Indeed. All right, guys. So we're going to move into the last thing that we always do here. And I'm going to be changing up a little bit. Usually we do the high point, low point. We're going to be shifting that a little bit. And I'm going to be bringing back an old segment from a show that I do called Keeping Kayfabe. We used to do it on there. And now I've altered it to be here on the Raw Post Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing the good, the bad, and the ugly of tonight's show.
Marking out, brother. Marking out.
Man, I haven't heard that music in a fucking long time.
Indeed. It's a fun little song there. So this is going to work similar to the high point, low point, where we're going to be saying what we thought was the most good thing on the show, the most bad thing on the show, and the most ugly thing on the show. So what stuck out at all three of those different opinion points? I'll go first to start off on this one, since it's something that's a little bit new here. The thing that I thought was the most good from tonight's show, absolutely Shield versus Wyatt. That match was absolutely freaking amazing. It took an odd turn that I really did not expect Seth Rollins, of all the guys, to be the one to walk out. But really, when you look back on it, makes a lot of sense. I think they're doing absolutely perfect with the storyline. Can't wait to see it continue. Bad, I'm going to go with Sheamus versus Christian. That was just an abysmal match. It went on way too long. Didn't do any favors for either guys having him go into this feud. This is not a match anybody wants to see at WrestleMania, so the hell with that. And ugly is that backstage diva segment. That was just atrocious. And this is I almost would put this on par with that one we had when they were first launching the Total Diva show, where they had all the divas in the back just arguing back and forth, and the freaking Funkadactyls going, "Church!" I could not stand that one. So that's definitely going to take that one from me. Drew?
All right, so my good will be the same as yours, the Wyatt and Shield match. You know, it's a fantastic match, nothing bad about it at all. So I'm going to make that my good. My bad will be the backstage segment. I didn't really think it was terrible, but it wasn't good at all. The only thing I got out of it was that Oksana apparently has a thing for white guys who play drug addicts in comedy show, in TV shows. And then for the ugly, I'm going to go with the Alexander Rusev debut. I thought that was pointless, stupid. No one cared about it. And I still don't know what that lady says when she walked out.
Mean you.
Brian the Brain said that means excuse me. So now she's stealing Vicky Guerrero's gimmick.
Oh my goodness. She's stealing Vicky Guerrero and Oksana's gimmick. What a jerk.
What a bitch.
I'm thinking for herself.
Oh, all right. Steven?
From my high point, it's definitely got to be the Shields versus the Wyatts.
It's good, bad, ugly now.
Oh, yeah, whatever. That's what I meant.
Pretty good point.
Yeah, that's my good point. My bad one is Sheamus versus Christian. And my ugly is, as I said, I'm a sourpuss on it, the booking of that fucking tag match.
Ooh. Not going to let it go.
Nope. I'm going to be butthurt for weeks.
Tony, you're good, bad, ugly.
The good, I'm going to echo what everybody else said. Shield versus the Wyatt family, awesome match. The bad, Sheamus versus Christian, and what I'm hoping does not turn out to be more of a mess at WrestleMania. The ugly, we might not have been able to actually see it, but I'm sure there were ugly faces on the crowd after after Raw went off the air and there was no CM Punk. They had to have made just wretched faces of disappointment.
Oh, the chants that were probably leading all the way into the parking lot?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think's worse, the post-Chamber faces or the post-Chicago show faces?
I would say Chicago is a lot rowdier crowd.
Yeah, I gotta say maybe the Chicago ones, because they probably had a much deeper hope for it.
You think that maybe they threw some stuff in the ring when this was over? Do you think that was might be a possibility?
I mean, they told him right off at the beginning of the show that CM Punk was not going to be there. I think that helped, because I think people just kind of accepted it from that point on.
Yeah, but there's always those stupid guys like, never give up! It's a work band! They're like Steven, but on steroids.
Okay. We're taking a couple of them out of the chat room here. iRadia is saying his good was the crowd. Can't disagree with that. Bad, Sheamus and Christian. Ugly, the Divas segment. Brian the Brain saying that the good is the Shield and the Wyatts. His bad is Sheamus and Christian, and ugly is Emma dancing. Can't disagree with those either. And there's Time Cow right on schedule, letting us know that it's time to start wrapping up things here. So we will be taking into our closing bit, where we give each of our hosts here a little bit of a time to say their closing words and let you know about whatever's awesome going on in their life that you should be going and checking out. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Why do we even give me this? I don't even say anything of relevance here. Okay, that's about it for me.
Steven?
All right, March 23rd, you can check out an episode of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio. This time we're going to be covering Elfin Lied. That's a horror anime which focuses on pink-haired girls that have the ability to rip and disembowel people with invisible arms called Vectors. That's going to be live Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, check out smartoutmoment.com and check out some of the articles that I posted on my column, Getting Over.
All right, Tony?
As mentioned before, smartoutmoment.com is my wrestling site. Looking for more writers there. Just got Wego on board with that. If you're interested, send in your application. Shout out to Joseph Stallman for covering the live results of Raw tonight. Nice job, man. My podcast is Smack Talk, which has been mentioned before as well. You can find that on youtube.com/smartoutmoment or iTunes and Stitcher. This week, we're going to discuss who does the best powerbomb in the wrestling business. And I'm also going to do a special dark match edition of the TNA lockdown predictions, which you can only find on the iTunes and Stitcher versions. So watch out for that. Bleacher Report and all other A Mango True related stuff. Just follow me on facebook.com/TonyMango.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed listening to us here on the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio, and you should join us every single week after WWE Raw goes off the air by tuning into www.megapowersradio.com, where we will be every single week. And as always, you'll always be able to call in with the phones, with Skype, join us in the chat room. There's always lots of interactivity going on here on the show. We always like to get you fans here talking with us. Always makes it a lot more fun that way. But if for any reason you can't join us on Monday night, say, you know, there's a particular thing going on that week, you can get onto the show using many archive means. First off, going to smartoutmoment.com. It'll be on the front page right there for you every single week. Easy to find, plus with extra show notes, so it's definitely the quickest and easiest place to get the show in archive format. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes to automatically get the episodes downloaded to your iPhone or Android device. And also, you can always tune in on megapowersradio.com, where the archive version will be sitting as well. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Please join us every single week. We'll see y'all next time here on the NPR Raw Post Show. I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, and for Drew White. We'll see y'all next time here on the NPR Raw Post Show.